From the Word of God, Genesis chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air. For I'm sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, Where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? Then Jesus said, Make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, a number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to his disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise to the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost. Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Several years ago, a lady by the name of Janet Sharp was a resident of a Florida community that was torn apart by tornadoes. She and her husband only had enough time to escape the house with what they could carry in their hands. And later a news organization interviewed her and said, What did you take? You only had time to take what you could carry out. What did you take? She said, I grabbed the photo albums, the pictures of our family, the things that could be replaced, the furniture, the clothes, the physical belongings, the documents. We didn't worry about it. We grabbed the photo albums. If you had time to pack one item, what would you take? Noah had time, and he packed an ark and made a difference for his family. Let's talk about making a difference this morning. First of all, you can make a difference for your family. Living a life of integrity and obedience to God always has the potential to have a positive influence on others. We don't always see it when we're fighting the good fight of faith, but it happens just the same. Now, Noah was chosen by God to build an ark because the Bible says of the way he lived. He was found to have favor in the eyes of the Lord. And that word favor also means grace. That he was a pleasant and agreeable person. And a righteous man. And in this position, a man of integrity, he walked with God. He lived a life that was different from the norms of the world. God looks around at the world at that day, and the Bible says he was sorry. He repented, he regretted that he had made humankind. But there's one man and his family that he sees who are righteous. And Noah's obedience didn't just benefit Noah. It also saved his family. Had we kept reading in the book of Genesis, we would have come to chapter 7, where the Bible says, "Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and your whole family, because I found you to be righteous before this generation." Now, if you read from several different translations, some of them will say, God said to Noah, come into the ark. And others will say, he said to Noah, go into the ark. And I looked the word up in a Hebrew dictionary, and the word means both. And I've made the arbitrary decision that I like come better. Because consider for a moment, you're standing out in your front yard, and somebody comes up, they're going to visit for a while, and you say, well, just go on inside. I'll be there in a minute. Or you're already in the house, and the doorbell rings, and there's that friend, and you say, come on in. I'm already in here. Come on in. I like that second one. God says, come on in. I'm already in here. You and your family. And those closest to you, God says, because you're righteous, bring your family with you. Come on in. This is where I am. You can make a difference with your family. Secondly, you can make a difference for future generations. It's an old story. You've heard the story. A man is planting apple trees. The man's along in years. And he's preparing the ground. He's got saplings. He's digging holes. He's planting them. He's watering them. He's putting down some fertilizer. And there's a young man standing there watching, kind of arms folded, smiling a little bit. And he says, you don't expect to eat any of those apples, do you? And the old fellow says, no, sir. But somebody will. He kept planting. Your actions can help those who follow. Your actions can help those who come behind. Because of what Noah did, the world has been saved from ever being destroyed by flood again. We're still receiving the benefits of Noah's righteousness and trust in God. God said, never again will I destroy the world by flood. And it was because of the influence of this one man. We can benefit future generations. And when you serve people or influence them positively and encourage them, you're passing along to them what they can receive. And it's a chain of impact that can outlive you. We have an expression around our house. Kyle and I were raised at 117 Shenandoah Avenue in Lachlan, Maryland. And when I see somebody, Bonnie and I were in a restaurant the other day, and there were a couple of teenagers sitting across the restaurant from us, being loud, boisterous, obnoxious, interrupting. And I looked at Bonnie and I said, they weren't raised at 117 Shenandoah Avenue. Now, Mom and Dad have been in heaven for years. Dad since 96, Mom since 99. And the influence, the way we were raised, the way we're trying to raise our children, follows on. We can make a difference for future generations. I passed somebody who's ugly in a car. One last night, he's following me down the road, down the interstate, zooms out around, comes in front of me, and cuts off at the exit. And I said, he didn't learn to drive at 117 Shenandoah Avenue. The influence of generations on the future. You can make a difference. Thirdly, you can make a difference for God. Too often we fail to realize our importance to God. Our importance to God? Me? Important to God? Well, look at the cross. If you want to know how important you are to God. And Scripture says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to Him." That's 2 Chronicles 16:9. God is always looking for someone to stand in the gap, to partner with Him, to make a difference, to be one of the people who love Him and show that love. And that's the case for Noah. God was discouraged. God was sorry with the people He had created. And yet Noah found favor in God's eyes and caused God to save humanity. And because of his relationship with God, Noah changed the course of history. Jesus said to us, "You are the light of the world, so that the world can see us, so that the world can see the light that leads to the cross." Do you know where's the toughest place to live and to act right? In a town where nobody knows you. In a place where you're a total stranger. That's the toughest place to live for God. Because you say, "Well, I can do what I want. Nobody knows me. Nobody can rattle me and tell them back home what a stinker I am." That's the toughest place to live for God. But living for God in that place, as well as at home, can make a difference for God. And Noah finds that favor, and God saves humanity because of that relationship that they had. Jesus said we're to be the salt of the world so that we can be a preservative. We're to be the salt of the world so that we can make people thirsty for God. We can make a difference for God. Fourth, you can make a difference at any age. I told somebody recently, I am 3/4 of a century old. I'm older than dirt. Well, not really older than dirt, but I am 3/4 of a century old. At any age, we can make a difference for God. Some people put a restriction on themselves because of their talent, their intelligence, their experience. They worry about their age. But with God, one person can always make a difference. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the situation, age means nothing to God. You listen to that passage from John chapter 6. People are following Jesus. They've seen the signs. They follow Him. They want what Jesus can do for them. And Philip looks around as this crowd is gathering, and he said, "Man, look at these folks." Jesus said, let's feed them. And Philip says, "If we had 7 months' wages, we wouldn't have enough for everybody to have just a little bite." And Andrew looks at the little boy's lunch. He has 5 barley loaves, the cheapest grain, about 1/3 the value of wheat, and 2 small fish. They would have been scaled if they had scales. They'd have been gutted and preserved. His mama packed him a lunch. He's got that little lunch. And Andrew says, this little boy said we can have his lunch, but what are they among so many? Well, ask the 5,000 who ate. John says they ate all the fish. And there were 12 baskets full of leftovers. What are they among so many? Ask everybody who went away with a full tummy. Ask the 12 disciples who each of them gathered up a basket full of leftovers, demonstrating what God is able to do. And then there's Noah. When it began to rain, he was 600 years old. And if I understand the chronology of Scripture right, he worked for 120 years building that ark. And at 600, age 600, he completed the work and went in the ark. You're never too old, you're never too young to make a difference for God. Let's go back to that little boy. I read a commentator who said, well, what really happened was that little boy brought out his lunch and they were all embarrassed and everybody brought along food and they were hiding it under their coats and they had baskets and they had bags and they were hiding it and the little boy embarrassed them. They said, okay, well, we'll share our food. Well, that's a sweet idea, but I think it's a bunch of phooey. But I think what might have been going on is other people had food and they realized they don't have enough to do any good with it. What's this little bit? But here's this boy who has five cheap loaves and two small fish. You can say what I have doesn't make a difference. It won't make a difference. I'm going to hide it. I'm going to keep it. The little boy could have said that. But he gave it to Jesus. And look what a difference it made. Let's conclude with some lessons from Noah. Lesson number one. Don't be afraid to stand out in the crowd. Don't be afraid to stand out in the crowd. Noah knew what it meant to stand alone. No one had to encourage him to follow God, yet he stood for God even when everyone else in the world stood against him. Difference makers are different. Don't let it bother you. Secondly, don't be afraid to do something for the first time. It'd be strange to be building a boat in the middle of a place where there's no river and no lake and it's never rained. And you're the first one. What are you building, a boat? Don't be afraid to do something for the first time. Noah was more concerned about obeying God than he was about seeming to be foolish to his neighbor, so he just kept on building. Don't let the words, "it's never been done," dictate what you do when the Spirit of God speaks to you. And you know the seven last words of the church. We've never done it this way before. Thirdly, trust God when He limits you. Now look at this picture again. Here's Noah. He has gathered the materials. He's organized the project. He's collected the food to feed the animals. He's recruited the workers. And they've spent all this time to build this safety boat, this ark. And then God says, go inside, and God locks the door. Noah's done all of this. He's been the man. He's been out front. He's been the leader. And now he's locked inside, and he can't do anything but stay inside and wait for God to unlock the door. Until God opens the door, that's where Noah's going to be. If God sets limits on you and on your life, you can trust God to keep you and use you where you are. Maybe you can't do what you used to do, but you can do what you can do. We don't have time to go into detail, but look at Joseph. Daddy's favorite. Sold into slavery by his jealous brothers. Recruited into the household of a man who was prosperous and put in charge of the whole household. Falsely accused of rape by the man's wife, thrown into prison. Then he comes out of prison and he's the number two man in all the nation of Egypt. Look at the steps along the way. Look at Esther. Sweet little Jewish girl, beautiful little girl, young woman. She is picked to be one of the king's harem, which means she's just one more of one more. But when the queen says, I'm not going to live a lifestyle that degrades me, and she's removed. Who's picked? Esther. And what does she do? She saves her entire nation. How about Nehemiah? He's just another captive away in captivity. But he gets it in his heart that he wants to repair, to see the city of Jerusalem repaired. He goes to the king. This king says, okay, and I'll give you papers, and I'll give you supplies, and I'll give you people. But along the way, each of these are in a position where they have been limited by life and circumstances. But they keep trusting, and they keep serving. And number four, when you see a rainbow, that's God's symbol, not the world's perversion of it. Remember that one person can make a difference. No one had seen a rainbow until Noah followed through on what God asked of him. He put the rainbow in the sky as a promise, as a covenant to humanity, that he would never again destroy the world with water. And the next time you think you see a rainbow, think of God's promise to you. It's a promise that you, with whatever your gifts, whatever your talent, wherever you are, whether you're wide open or locked in, you can make a difference. And in celebration of that, we come to the Lord's table.